Hello, friends. You are listening to the Close Friends podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about surviving, diving, and thriving headfurst. No, it's not that. Surviving, thriving, and diving headfurst into life, trying to have a good time, but also trying to, I don't fucking know what this is. I can't actually remember it. Hello, friends. You are listening to the Close Friends podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about surviving, thriving, and diving headfirst into life, trying to be adults, but also trying to have a fucking good time. I'm Tara, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Sarah.
Hello.
And Lucy.
Hi.
And we are going to discuss some of the amazing questions that you guys sent in. We got loads of them, and there are some really, really good talking points in there, so thank you again. But before we kick off with that, Lucy, how are you?
I'm good. I currently have Stan draped across my lap. But I'm good. I've had a lovely week. I've actually just spent the last hour before jumping on this call loading things on Vinted. Do any of you use Vinted? I'm obsessed. It's so much better than Depop. People actually buy.
Oh, whoa. Whoa. I'll
Big
fight
statement.
You. I'll Big fight statement. You. I'm a Depop girly till I die.
Honey, you need to go on Vinted.
It's Why?
Cheaper. If you're, so basically I'm selling stuff. I'm not buying stuff. And this, I've loaded maybe 20 items in the past month. Almost all of it sold instantly.
Really?
Just, like instantly. Nice. Yeah. And you don't have to pay any fees. They buy it straight away. So I've just been like, I'm literally combing through my wardrobe because I'm addicted to the thrill of things selling. So I'm combing through my wardrobe like, what else can I sell? It's so exciting.
And do people haggle like they do on Depop? Because that's literally the worst thing about Depop. People be like, yeah, what? I'll give you £3 for this £40 thing.
You know what?
I love it.
They do still, some of them, they send a little cheeky offer. They send little cheeky offers, but far less than I experienced when I was selling things on Depop. So it's where it's at. But yeah, anyway, how was your week, Sarah?
Yeah, it was good. Sorry, I'm still on the Depop. Do you say Depop? Does anyone say Depop? I say Depop, but no, I feel like it could be like Depop.
No one in the UK says Depop. Okay. It sounds a bit like
go front to jail. Jail if you're saying Depop. Please. Jail.
It sounds like a rapper's name or something.
Depop!
Like
they try and make it really cool. Depop. From like the 80s, yeah.
That is horrible.
I never know how much to linger on the D, you know, if it's like Depop or Depop. Yeah, it's my
Depop.
Problem generally in life. Depop!
Depop! That's how it is. Depop, right?
Do you know what? Unlocked trauma when I was at school. Actually, one of my best friends ever from home, Elena, who listens to this. Hi, Elena. She used to bully me because I would say new look, as in the clothing shop, whereas everyone else says new look. Wait, no, what do I say? I say new look, and she says new look. Ugh. Like it goes up. Which way do you say it?
Yeah. What? You're saying it strangely,
it's
and it
look.
Is.
It's
yeah, you say it weird to me. Yeah. You say.
Sarah, you say new look.
New look.
It's new. Oh, wait.
Ew, is that like.
New look.
New look.
You're emphasizing
I'm going to new
look.
I'm going to New Look. Yeah, I can't remember which way round it is, but I think I do say it weird. She was like, just fucking stop. And I never have been able to. So.
Someone said to me, are you going to Glastonbury?
I think it's Northern.
Glastonbury?
Maybe it's North. Glastonbury. And I was like, that is so jarring. Glastonbury.
Yeah, Americans say Glastonbury. I find it quite uncomfortable, but also you are going to Glastonbury, so fuck you. Basically, I didn't get tickets, so I'll just be over here crying. No worries.
We're gonna get you one. We're gonna get you one and resell.
Yeah, I'll suck dick for those tickets. You know, no worries. Cut that. We'll cut that bit.
It's just coming out.
No, it's just a little joke. Just a little light-hearted fun.
I've spoken to at least two people recently who have both said that jumping and sneaking into Glastonbury is a normal thing. Like they just get in the back of a van.
There are YouTube videos about it. You can like pretend to be a bin man and wheel a bin into the site, basically, if you have like all the high vis and stuff on, and then you put a friend in a bin bag in the bin and you roll the bin into the site and then you run away. That's the best one I've seen.
Look, there's methods. I personally, as an avid rule abider, that fills me with too much anxiety. I would never do anything like that. But
I also think you have to consider the quality of the experience. Like, you get there and you've arrived in a bin, and like all you have is like one tiny bag of clothes, and also you have to climb out of a bin. I think I'd just skip that year. I think I'll just try again next year.
I'm all right, guys. You guys go on. I'm good. I'm going to stay at home.
Rolling around in the wheelie bin.
You guys have a nice time, though.
Sorry. That was a very long-winded response to, my week's been all right, thank you. The only other notable thing that happened was that I logged into the Close Friends Instagram, blew off the cobwebs, logged into the Close Friends Instagram last night when I was going to bed. So Lucy and Tara are asleep by this point because I'm 8 hours behind. So I was going to bed and I opened it like, oh, we've got a notification. What's that? Oh, it's going to be Close Friend of the Week. Cute. And I open it and it's a response to a conversation that someone else has already started. One of you two. Let me read it out. The conversation goes like this. Him. Hi. I want to buy your username. Do you sell it to me? And one of you replied, it's £10,000 GBP, just to confirm. That's the king's finest. 10,000 of the king's finest, please. And then followed up with, if you'd like to discuss further. And then the notification that I saw was him replying saying, I'll pay $500. This boy didn't even convert to pounds. Like, that's how little he gives a shit.
Look, all I'm saying is we are sitting on a gold mine, and I will happily sell the name of this podcast to anyone who is going to pay us 10,000 GBP.
Fucking
I'm happy. I'm happy to give it
not
away.
Not a penny less.
You've got to come with the goods. Yeah.
No, I agree.
Come correct.
If you'd like to discuss further, it's also like, you know, we've got three broke bitches. We got a cozy lives, cost of living, cozy lives. Anyhow, yes. So I enjoyed that. Thank you very much for that entertainment. And then finally, Tara, are you okay? You okay? Are you feeling all right?
I'm good. I'm really good. Feeling all right. What's happening? I think, okay, so what's been going on in my mind and on my Instagram feed at the moment, which is fucking sick, and I think more people should be talking about it, is the fact that there are pole dancers hired to be on stage at Snoop Dogg concerts. Have you both seen this?
I know.
It is
shit. Oh my God.
In the entire world.
Yeah.
And it's like the creme de la creme pole dancers that are on stage. There's like four stage poles, and they're pulling these sick ass moves, and it's the coolest thing in front of like tens of thousands of people. It's so cool. So yeah, that's been really inspiring me today. I hope lots of people pick up pole off the back of this because it's good shit.
Oh yeah. Tara, did you see the meme that was like Snoop Dogg really be getting paid to do karaoke with people pole dancing in front of him? He's like, it's just a picture of him, literally. He's not even trying. Our boy's just like muttering something into the mic, and then these girls are going off.
Yeah, it's so good. And then also they're in the back, right? And they're all like these photos with him in the back in like the green room. And he's just smoking a fat spliff, like just casually in the back, like before and after the show. It's hilarious. I'm like, of course he's a
Snoop fucking
Dogg,
icon.
But like, it's fucking funny.
He is. Side note, tangent of the day. Has he ever been cancelled, Snoop Dogg?
I don't think he has.
No, I don't think he has. He's done very well to avoid it. Really, when you think about it.
Should I Google it?
Yeah, good idea. I'm not close enough to like pop culture to know. I don't think. Didn't he change his name once to like Snoop Lion or some shit?
Oh yeah, he really did.
Do you know what's come
up?
Just a load of info on what Snoop Dogg concert cancelled. Why did Snoop Dogg cancel his show? Why has Snoop Dogg cancelled UK tour? It's just a load of tour info.
He hasn't been cancelled, has he? What a guy.
He's not been cancelled. But he's been cancelling a lot of shows though, as I'm finding out on here, so
that's how you don't get cancelled. Just don't show up. Don't say shit. Just don't. Don't go.
According to Google, he's unproblematic, apparently. So there you go.
Wow.
Great. Mm,
good. Well, now we've got that out of the way. now we've got that out of the way.
some of listening is going to be like, actually, something really horrific happened. And you guys are like, claps for Snoop Dogg.
Feel free to message us if that's the case. Like, just let us know. On that note, should we launch in with some questions, Tara?
Let's do it.
Yes, good idea. I've got one up, so I can take the first one. Right, you ready? So, somebody has asked us, just wondering if you have any advice on improving sex life with your partner when you live together. We both love sex, but life keeps getting in the way and we can go weeks/months without being sexually intimate. How do we bring back the passion and sex drive from the start of the relationship?
Good question.
Yeah. Yeah, good question. Good question. Cool.
Good question.
That's a really good question. It's really hard. And also, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert in this. All I can do is give my opinion of how I think I'd react. And I haven't fully figured out what that would be yet. So I don't know. Lucy, what do you think?
Well, I think anyone that's been in a long-term relationship, you know that naturally by proxy of being with that person a lot, it makes things more routine, which can make you feel like you've lost a spark or spontaneity. So I guess a lot of it, sorry.
I've
been cut out. Sorry, oh. I just needed to cough. But I basically, if you've been in a long-term relationship, typically you would have been there. So how to get it back? I think step one is 100% addressing the elephant in the room. You have to talk about it, because if both of you are feeling awkward about it, both of you are aware as well, if you're not having sex or it's not like it used to be, you're both aware. So I think talking about it is step one. And then from there, I think distance does, and I don't mean like, I mean physical distance helps. So, but then people are working together and living together, I don't know. That's my initial thought. I'm gonna think more on it.
I think building on that, right? Like doing stuff with friends and going away on holiday, not always together, or like, you know, I don't know. That definitely has helped me in the past, like having some time apart. Like, you know, making the effort to, because you end up being in each other's pockets all the time, and that's not sexy, right? I mean, actually, my mum said this to me once a long time ago. She said the secret, and this is going to be an interesting one, I don't know how many people are going to agree or disagree, but the secret to maintaining a long-term healthy relationship is to have time apart and to do stuff apart. And at first, when I was like, I was, you know, when she told me this, but I was young, and I was like, oh no, that doesn't make sense. You know, when you're in a partnership, you just, it's togetherness and all this kind of stuff. And now I'm like, no, I get it. I get it. Like, be your own person and then come together and sparks fly, right?
I reckon there'll be loads of people in the world that doesn't work for, but for me and what I know of both of you, I think that's a very good rule to live by. Just keeps things fresh, doesn't it? I think, like, also what you're both saying about like being in each other's pockets, living together, time apart. Okay, so I'm like, oh, I'm not an expert in this, but I have been there. Haven't been married, haven't done this with a husband, lol. But I have been in long-term relationships where the sex drives have like changed, and I think previously. It can happen for many reasons. It's happened to me because I just like fell out of love with that person, but it's also happened to me because we were spending too much time together, and it creates this pressure where every sort of like second you go without having sex, you're kind of both thinking about it more, and you're like, oh, it's been another day, it's been another whatever. And it can kind of create this weird like shame loop. And it can also lead to a bit of resentment if your sex drives aren't matched, which I think is also really shit. So with all of that said, I'm like, yeah, I do empathize with this. You have to talk about it. And also you have to approach it together. So this question was nice because it was like, oh, we both love sex. We both want to make it better. So I really like mm-hmm. that. It's like we're both willing to try. So you have to talk about it. You have to make time for it, and you have to make it an event, which in early stages of relationship is actually like, you don't do that, you just have it, and it's just like all honeymoon period and stuff, and you don't have to worry about like scheduling it. But you know, you have to make time for it. And like, perhaps if you're like, oh, we have a date night planned, and it's like, that's when we're going to try and like just be intimate. And then the other thing I saw on TikTok that I found really helpful, because TikTok is where we go for this kind of, you know, really important life advice. It was a sex and relationships coach, and she was like, just take the pressure off sex with intimacy. So like, just lie on your bed. Like if you're like, you know, having date night or whatever, just lie on your bed and just kiss, like, and then see how it goes. And like, kissing takes like, you know, 30 seconds if you want. That's not a big time commitment. And you can just see how it unfolds from there. So you're not getting into this pattern in your mind of being like, oh, I need to allocate 2 hours for some like crazy sex session. Just build that intimacy back up and like try and make time for it that way.
You know, when I listen to this advice though, so I love listening, you know, like when I watch these TikToks and people are like scheduling sex dates, or once a week you have a day where like you're gonna have sex, and even to a degree the kind of we're gonna have intimacy time and see how it unfolds. There is always a part of me though which is like, if I'm in that, just having it planned still removes and makes it feel awkward for me. Yeah. And I don't know what it is. It's because a lot of sexual attraction for me, and to be feeling like turned on, I guess, by my long-term partner, is still about the spontaneity. And it's like, how do you marry up? How do you still access that? Which I think then it comes down to, I think for me at least, you can discuss things like having date nights and discuss things like making it a priority. But I still think it's maybe on each partner to make a little bit of effort to be a bit spontaneous within that.
Yeah.
Like you both agreed you want to have more sex. You both agreed that you want to kiss more and be more tactile and stuff. And I think with a lot of couples, it's often not that they're not being tactile. They're still cuddling and kissing and snuggling on the sofa. It's more just the kind of sex stuff, which is... becomes a bit more of like, oh, it's a chore. But yeah, I guess it's like both of you agreeing to maybe make an effort to be spontaneous as well. And it's like, maybe you're in the kitchen and maybe you're like, you know.
The only last thing I wanted to add was just to extend that point and just say, it becomes unsexy when there's an expectation. There's a difference between allocating time and making it a priority versus the expectation, which I know many, many women, just given, you know, growing up in like the UK as a millennial, like you have all these weird sexual experiences, and expectation is a really negative thing to associate with sex. I really hear what you're saying, and I want to like emphasize that for me, expectation doesn't work, but making it a priority and making time for it does. And then Tara, please, you're the one who's in a long-term relationship, so we should probably fucking stop talking. Yeah.
No, I love that. But I think what's really interesting about what you both said is that there are different things that you don't like about it and different things that you do like about the whole situation. So it's a very much like a personal thing. And I think if you're listening to this and you're in this situation, you should try and understand what it is in you that you kind of, that would make, give you the ick, or what it is that you want from, you know, an increase in your sex life, essentially, right? So the other thing is, there's stuff that we forget, like when we get sort of a bit further down in relationships, right? We don't send each other like nude pics anymore. We don't buy new underwear. We don't, you know, do stuff like that. And it's actually going back to like, okay, well, what did we do in month one, month two, month three? What do I know turns my partner on? Like, what can I do? Can I buy a new toy? Can we try a new thing? Is there somewhere, you know, in the flat that we haven't fucked in, like that kind of stuff, the really back to basic stuff can be really impactful and make it sort of feel a bit sexier, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, also when you were talking, Tara, I was thinking, when you don't feel sexy, you don't want to have sex. So yeah. Like, I don't want to put the blame on you. I'm not, you know, to be like, the reason you're not having sex with your boyfriend is because of you. But it's more like, if you want to be in that mood and that position to feel confident to send a sexy pic to your boyfriend, you also have to do a bit of like work with just you. And maybe that is, do you know what? Who's a really good person to follow on this? Carly. I feel like she does a lot of content around.
She does. Doesn't she? She's great.
Yeah. Carly Marina. Yeah. She does amazing like reels about this. She's done amazing series before, which is about like self-pleasure, and she's married and she's been with her partner for years and years, but she talks a lot about this struggle. But what was even my point? Yeah, I guess it's more like you getting out there, you spending time with your friends, you socializing without your partner, and you remembering that you're your own whole person without your partner, and getting a bit of validation, I guess, from other people and other experiences in your life, and working on you is also going to make you feel more desirable and sexy, which then is going to help your sex life with your partner as well.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Great. Next question. Who's got one?
Next cue.
Sarah, you pick one.
I'll jump in with this quick one. That is kind of on that theme of like attraction. So this question is, should you continue to date someone you don't find physically attractive just because you get along very well? Or does this mean you found a friend? Let me know, because I don't fucking know. what have you got? Tell me.
I mean, it kind of depends on how important physical attraction is to you. I mean, I know some friends that can just go without and it's okay, and that's just the way that they are, and they don't place that much value in sex as that part of the relationship for them. But if you do, then yes, you have found a friend and you should probably just call it that.
Yeah.
So when I think back to all the men that I have like really loved and really been in love with and been very attracted to, when I look at them physically, there's no like real continuity between the way they look in terms of, why are you laughing? Cause you know, it's true.
Good point.
There's no like, they're all so different, right?
I think the words you literally used last night were, malnourished East London. Maybe skater.
So no.
That's the only so continuity. So and I agree though, that's more of a vibe. Physically they look very different. I agree. Malnourished.
I mean, okay, wait, they are all tall brunette men. So. Okay, fine. Right. All the men I like fancy are exactly the same. But no, one thing I will say is that the first time I meet them or see a picture of them or whatever, I'm not like, oh my God, I fancy them so much. It's all about the way they carry themselves. It's about their energy, you know, drawing back to last week's conversation. So I guess maybe you not fancying your partner, I guess it's deciding, is it just physically the way that they look, or is it that maybe they've changed slightly in their character or their what they're doing with their life? Has there been a shift in maybe their personality, I guess, which makes them less attractive to you all of a sudden? So because if it's something like that, maybe it's something you can address and work and build on.
This is a new relationship though, I think, from the, let me just
double check.
I think it was a new relationship. It's like hold on. Should you continue to date someone? Okay, so it could be either, but I'm thinking this is in the earlier stages. It's not like, should I go through with the marriage? You know, it's like, should I continue to see where this is going?
Yeah.
I agree that attraction can develop, and it's not, I mean, it shouldn't all be on just initial sexual chemistry, because that can be very misleading. Take you down the wrong path. But I do think it sounds a little bit more like you found a friend. I personally believe you deserve more from your romantic relationships than just the bare minimum, my favorite phrase at the moment, the bare minimum of, you know, we're able to spend a lot of time together. I mean, you found yourself at, you know, but at best a roommate there. That's not a reason to give your life up for someone. So I think you, it's a form of settling what you're describing. And I think you deserve better. That's what I'd say.
If you're even having to ask the question in the early stages of a relationship, then it's probably not worth it, to be honest.
Mm. And also, I will add on to that, we should normalize becoming friends and working hard to build friendships with people that we've dated who, you know, maybe it hasn't worked out. I really, actually, this is probably not a good time for me to discuss it.
I'm just thinking that.
It can work, not always, but it can work. And it can be really amazing when you know, you both parties are committed to making it a friendship. So, you know, it doesn't mean you have to be like, bye. I very much used to be that person that would be like, okay, we're not dating anymore, that's it. And then I'd feel even worse in my breakups because a friend is also gone. But if you don't feel attracted to them or you no longer want to be in a relationship with them, you should give friendship a go as well. Yeah. Kelsey, my best friend Kelsey, is like an amazing example of someone who can build really incredible platonic friendships with people. I mean, just in general, but some of her closest guy friends are guys that she's been on a date with and, you know, whatever. And I've seen, watching her do it has also been quite inspiring for me. So,
I love that. I have another question that I can follow up with, seeing as I've got my phone open. Moving on to the, I guess, the balance of fun and seriousness as young millennial women. This one says, hello, lovely girlies. Thank you for that, by the way. What is one thing you wish you knew in your early 20s? Love your podcast and wishing you a lush day. Kiss, kiss. Really love that. Thank you for the nice message. Yeah, for the nice sandwiching of the question. This is a good one, though. What do you think, Tara? I'm going to go to you first. Also, I hate that we're not in our early 20s anymore. RIP.
I don't hate that we're not in our early 20s. Fuck our early 20s. Every year gets better. Life gets so much better.
True.
Like, okay, what do I wish I knew in my early 20s? I wish I knew that being skinnier is not going to make me a better person. It's actually just going to make me miserable. I wish I knew that being in a relationship is not the be all and end all, and actually being on my own is probably going to be more fun now. Someone else go, because I can just keep going forever, I think.
I for some reason I always struggle with this question because I get like paralysis over wanting to say the right thing. Oh, there, hey Sam. I see Sam in the background. I get paralysis over wanting to say the perfect thing, and all of that. Stop dieting, stop doing ridiculous things with your body. And also I suppose I was in like I was chronically in relationships for years, from my teens to my mid-20s, so I guess it's like, you're gonna be fine by yourself, you'll be good, and you're gonna be thriving.
I love that. It's true. I would say, so actually, Tara, I do agree with you. I'm like, we're not in our early 20s. I actually agree with you that your early 20s, life only gets better. So remember that. That's a key thing to remember. There's a lot of FOMO you experience in your 20s where you're like, I should be doing this. Career should be doing that. Everyone else has got more friends. I should try being an influencer. I'm going to try and make it big on TikTok. All of these fucking things that you think don't matter at all. Give yourself a decade to figure it out. And then your 30s is when the real fun starts. Like you can, and it's also never too late for anything. What's the woman's name who won the Oscar for Everything Everywhere All at Once? I forgot her name. Michelle Yeoh, is that right? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think so. She's amazing.
In her speech, sorry if I got that wrong, everyone. I just haven't Googled it yet. In her speech, she basically ended it with, like, ladies, you are never past your prime. And I fucking love that. She's like, what, 60 something? Again, don't fact check me. It's probably all wrong, but just remember that. Like, when I was
she's 35.
She's 22. She's still in her early 20s. When I was in my early 20s, though, I was like, I have to make these decisions now because I had the FOMO. And I was also like, I've got to work it all out because this is the rest of my life and this sets the tone. It doesn't. Newsflash, it doesn't. No one, like, very few people need to be taken seriously in their 20s.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of being in your early 20s is everything is kind of a process of elimination. Like, you try stuff, and if you don't like it, if it doesn't work, it's totally okay. Just keep trying more shit until you find something that you actually like.
Agree.
You know, I mean, friends, relationships, jobs, everything, all of it.
I agree.
I love that. You know what? Even like being in your early 20s really isn't that different than like turning 30. You don't really look that different. You don't really feel that different. I think we're so lucky to be in a generation and time where, you know, there's only been going to become less pressure to conform and do these certain things by certain milestones. Yeah. So just enjoy it.
Yeah. I agree with you, Lucy, as well. I'm like, God, there's actually so much more I want to say on that, but I'll move on. I've got another question here. Just dominating the floor with these screenshots.
Go for it.
But it's related. And Tara, you really like this one. How do you make decisions weighing up living your best life, i.e. going on holiday, fun opportunities, versus being mature and a little bit, quote them, dull, i.e. renovating a room, upgrading tech, etc.?
I love this question so much.
Yeah.
I want to, before I answer it though, I kind of want to address my privilege a little bit. Like, if I blew all my money tomorrow, I would not end up on the street. So there is that. And I understand that, you know, that makes me sort of more able to spend and to live my best life and stuff like that. But I think that what I'm going to say can kind of apply to you know, most people. There's a big trend on TikTok. Have you guys seen this? Where people are going, oh, you know, you might not ever get this. Money will always come back, but you might not ever get this opportunity ever again. And I sort of relate to that pretty hard, but then I think knowing the value of money and having a sort of backup and always having a plan B and being responsible enough to know that you've got yourself at every point, no matter what happens, is really important. And once you've sort of got that, maybe like a little bit of saving or a little bit of something where you feel yourself, you feel stable and you feel okay, then the other percentage, go and live your fucking life with it and spend it and have a nice time. It's the people that spend all of their money being sensible that I feel sorry for them in a sense. Like, I've got friends like that who are saving to buy a house and won't go on holiday for like 3 years. And I'm like, guys, this is 3 years you're never going to get back. Like, you know, a road trip up to the countryside to take a few days off. Like, that's going to do so much for your mental health and well-being that you just need that shit in your life, really. So there's definitely a balance, but I think having that bit of security somewhere is the key to it, and not just going, fuck it, let's have everything, you know, all at once, because that's going to give you anxiety. So don't do that.
I love that. I'm very much, I mean, my parents are Northern and they love to save and they love safety, and they're very much people who have instilled this thing in me, like, don't spend, save everything you can. And obviously, buying my flat last year, that has completely dramatically changed my money situation. So this year I've resided to the fact that this is not my fun year, this is me building back up my financial security, and, you know, not doing all the fun things and thinking more about what can I best use this money for, rather than just being like, yeah, I'll do the holiday and I'll also do this and whatever. So I would make a list of priorities, and I literally did this the other day, of things that I would love to have, like nice to have. So I'd love to buy a new TV stand. I would love to buy some art for my wall. I'd love to do all these things. And I'd also love to go on holiday, and I'd love to go, like, again, one of my best friends is going traveling in August, and at the start of the year, I was like, yeah, I'll go with her. And now I'm like, actually, I don't think I should do that, because it would be an amazing experience, but I also financially don't think that's a good way to spend my money. So I think maybe write out some lists, make some priorities, put some things in boxes, SASBAS style, like project manage it. And yeah, I think you're completely right though, Tara, because yes, there's a trend of like, just spend the money, whatever. But I also know people who spend a lot of all their extra money on doing the traditional stuff of saving for the house, saving for the wedding, and they're all the milestone thing, the milestone things, and that, you know, they mean a lot to people. But also going on holiday and going on a two night break away is so good for the soul. So yeah, basically everything you said is so spot on.
Yeah, we're just doing that thing where we just all agree with each other. But that's because we're very similar in this regard. Like,
so I've just repackaged what Tara just said.
I'm going to do the same.
Hot take.
It's a bit of balance.
Same take.
Hot take. Just a bit of balance.
I think actually what you said, Lucy, in the beginning, what you're saying about sort of having your, you know, you had fun year, you have less fun year, like more serious year, like that's also really important. Like knowing you can have a fun year, knowing you have a little bit more disposable income. Maybe you are in your early 20s and you don't have responsibilities and you don't need to be buying a house right now. Maybe these are your fun years. You could spend a little bit more.
You know? Also, like, figure out your money. Like, we move around not really actually understanding how much money we have and what we're spending. Like, spend a load of time figuring out what are you actually spending, how much money do you need every month, how much are all your bills. Like, really start to get financially literate, because that's the foundation of all of it. Figure out where you stand.
Everything we've said though is financial. It's really funny. It's like the question is like, I feel like everyone has their own balance of like their appetite for those things that we're calling live your best life, but they're like basically exhausting things. I don't know, like traveling, partying, but spending money in different ways versus saving. It's like really rooted in financial conversation. So the question is really like, if you had a baseline of money that would ensure you lived a very secure life and you had the things you need on a day to day, what would your appetite be for doing those living your best life things? And that's different for everyone. Some people have got like a 10% threshold. They, you know, they get very drained in social situations. They're not that into traveling. They would rather nest and get that house and like buy all the nice stuff from Pinterest. And that's totally fine. And then there's some people who don't have that threshold. Some people are like, no, I'm 90%. Would rather just literally blow it on an adult gap year like Tara and I have literally just done. Hot girl summer, Euro summer. And that's okay for us, because we know, I think there was like a calculated decision behind that, being like I've had to give up on some stuff. So basically I'm moving back to Europe for the summer, which means hopefully, you know, very privileged to be able to live with my parents, admittedly, in my childhood bedroom again, you know, age 29. Never mind. But because I'm giving up rent, I was like, okay, that means that I can put that money towards something else. So I did make a calculated decision behind that. But it is kind of sad how this conversation is all just financial, really. That's just capitalism, isn't it? A little bit of capitalism. That's how things work. So before we all just package up what each other is saying in different ways, Lucy, why don't you pick a little question? Been quiet back there.
I did have a couple that I I was wanting to address. Okay, I really like this one. So, best tips for old friendships where you can feel your life headed in a different direction to them and not wanting to lose them. So essentially, having those old friendships, maybe from school, maybe even from university, depending on how old you are, and having completely different life goals or life situations, but still wanting to keep in touch.
So I'm in this situation, like, personally, but the difference is that because we're going in separate directions, I actually don't want to continue being friends with this person.
Exactly.
So my question to this person is, what are you holding on to? Are you holding on to the person that they were, or the person that they are now? Because if you don't have anything in common anymore, Like, is what? Why, you know, why be friends? And I've got, so my friend Char was talking, I was talking to her about this because I'm in a pretty like weird quandary about all of this. She said that some of her school friends who have gone in a completely different path, she still has group chats and whatever with them, and every now and then someone's popping out a baby or whatever. And every time that happens, she says congrats, and they're still sort of like periphery in each other's lives, and they still know they exist and whatever, and it's nice to have a little girly group chat, but that's it. And she said, well, that's, you know, that's sort of where we're at, and we're all kind of okay with it.
Yeah, like, they're not going to be going to Shah's yoga class every week. They're not going to be like,
no,
your school friends aren't going to be going climbing with you. Like, my school friends can't exist in California. So, like, your lives go in different directions, that's fine. But you have to make a decision. Actually, you have to be a little bit mature about this and make a decision as to, what Tara said. Exactly what Tara said. Why do you want to hold on to this? And there's, like, school friendships that, you know, I don't even know what I'd talk about. And then I have other school friendships who are just wonderful, because actually, although our lives have moved in separate directions, it's like still a very mutual baseline of like the sense of humor we have, the things we're interested in, the things we're interested in talking about. And that's what matters. It's like there's still that currency.
In one episode, we talked about having like breakups with friendships. Was that us?
Yeah, that was us, wasn't it? That was
your
other podcast.
Sorry, listen. I was at house.
You didn't listen to any anyway.
No, I don't. So I've got a vague memory of what we said, but I can't really remember if we did actually say it or not. But I think that I came to the conclusion at the end of that I think that I thought that breakups in friendships were a good idea and that you should talk about it and whatever. But I think now, having had a few breakups of friendships and just let them fizzle out, that's what I'm just going to do from now on. Like, I don't feel like I owe a friend an explanation if I just kind of don't want to see them anymore. Like,
yeah. No, you do.
Do we?
You do if both of you don't feel the same about it. If you're both letting it fizzle,
oh, yeah,
fine. But if the other person is like,
yeah,
can we go and do that thing we said we'd do, and you just don't reply, that's shit.
Yeah, no, that's shit.
It's just you both have to be mutually feeling the same, I think. It is just like dating.
I think you can intuitively know that if your friends, like, if you're friends with someone, they should be intuitive with you. Does that make sense? I can't get my words together tonight. But like, then they should know if something is up. Otherwise, are they a good friend? I don't know. I think you can let the friendship fizzle if it is a mutual thing and, you know, you've not seen them in ages and things are different. But when you have the ones where you need to have the conversation, typically that's if something has happened, I think. If they've said something or an event has occurred which has made you realise, okay, I don't want to be friends with this person anymore. That's, I think, because then you've got something to actually talk about other than, like, I don't really like you anymore. Like, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
But the older that you get, the fewer friendship breakups I think that you have, and the only real transition really is this kind of like post university struggle where you're still trying to like hold on to your old school friendships and you feel bad and you feel guilty, but everyone deals with it, and also the feeling might be mutual as well. Not to like say they dislike you too, but it probably is. So you can just let it fizzle.
Yeah.
Not ghost, but fizzle. It's different somehow.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Tara, did we get any like controversial trolley, bit negative, bit juicy questions?
Not really. Here we go. Here's a good one. This came up a few times. I always thought I was straight, but starting to question this in my late 20s. I'm in a long-term relationship with a man, so not sure how to know for sure, or if it even matters, if I never know. Would love to hear your thoughts. What shall I do?
We did get this a lot. Yeah, as the resident bisexual.
Like, our diversity.
I'd love to get someone on here who's like had this experience for real and dealt with it. We can only talk to like what we think we'd do. I think that if you're in a really beautiful, stable relationship, you should be able to talk about these things. And the first person really you should go to after you've had this like informed decision-making process that like, oh, maybe this is something I want to explore. Like, I'm not sure, but maybe this is something I want to explore. I think really you want to be talking to your partner about it. And it's really hard to have that conversation though. Like, I know the three of us have spoke about this when we talked about like maybe transitioning to an open relationship from like a traditional monogamous one. You have to trust, you have to put a lot of trust in the other person on both sides in these conversations, that it's coming from a place of like genuine like sexual exploration and like knowing yourself and knowing your partner, and it's not I want to go and just fucking cheat on you, lol. And that is something that I've not had to tackle in a relationship yet. But like, Tara, do you have thoughts on how this would work? I know you've spoken about this before.
Well, I'm going to throw a spanner into the works, because somebody else said the same thing, but they said that they'd actually told their partner about this and the partner had said no, like just flat out, absolutely not. Like, obviously we don't know the situation of this couple, but I actually think that would be more jarring for me than the whole situation of trying to figure out if I was straight or not. Like, having my partner turn around and say, I don't trust you, and I don't, essentially that's what they're saying, I don't trust you and I don't love you enough to like, to that's what it says to me. I don't know whether that, but like, if Sam said to me no, I'd be like, excuse me?
Yeah.
What? And I think that would, because I would never say no to him. I would never ever say no. I don't feel comfortable with you exploring your full self.
Tara, you're a really confident, secure person, and actually it's a huge ask for I don't know, like an average member of the public to be like, do you feel okay with your partner exploring like sexual, we're assuming we mean sexual and romantic connections with other people. That's like, that's hard. Then,
what's the alternative, right? What's the alternative? You end up in a long-term relationship with somebody who's constantly questioning whether they should be with you or not, essentially. Like, what do you want? You want them to cheat instead? Or you want to find some sort of way in which you can, you know, why don't you add somebody to the relationship? It doesn't mean that they have to go and, like, you know, explore on their own. They could bring another same-sex person into the bedroom. I don't know. I just think, I think that it's worth lots of conversations. It's not worth just the one. It's worth, okay, here's a list of ideas that I have about how I can see myself trying to get to the bottom of this, and having like a sort of 0 to 100 kind of list where it's like, I would just like to kiss a girl in a club. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Right? To all the way down to, you know, whatever it is. But the sort of like little things, I don't know, and then you can maybe find some sort of solution. I think the practicality of it would probably help with most people, because if you come to somebody and you say, actually I don't think I'm straight and I don't know what to do about it, you'd freak out a little bit. I think the partner would probably freak out and you'd probably be like, okay, fine, right? But if you've got a little list of like, so this is some things that I'd quite like to try, I don't know, maybe that could work or help at least.
I love that. Yeah,
I love that. I think that's so fun. Even like, I want to go on a dating app and I want to, you know, I want to set my orientation to like to see women rather than men. And just those little things, I think, will help you decide yourself how far, because you might get to a point where you're like, actually, no, I love my boyfriend and I don't actually care that much. So that's a really, really amazing advice. I think all of this advice, when we say talk to your partner, talk to your partner, talk to your partner, I understand that when you listen to that, if you don't have a partner that is open or is difficult to talk to, because sadly in most relationships there is some sort of communication issue, and especially if you're in a heterosexual relationship with a man, typically men do struggle more with communication, especially around those topics. So I'm sort of visualizing, when I've been in long-term relationships, I'm visualizing what would have happened if I'd said that to my partner at the time. And I know that they would have struggled with that concept. Yeah. And the response may not have been, yeah, I love you, let's explore this together. It would have been more like, does that mean that you don't love me? Or what does that mean for me? And I think I'm kind of visualizing it as well. If my partner said that, approached me and said they wanted to experience different experiences with men. And I think I initially in myself, you go inward and you think, what does that mean about me? And I think maybe even if you're both committed to each other, maybe even, you know, doing a bit of therapy together, like booking a block of like 4 sessions together and go see a relationship coach and do it together. Because if you do that, it's also demonstrating to your partner, like, I love you and I don't want to lose you, but this is important to me. So maybe invest a bit in it.
That's good.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's great advice.
Yeah.
And on that note, that nice positive note, I feel like we can wrap this until next time. Please like and subscribe. And also, team, you owe us some story shout outs and mentions, please.
Yeah.
Our notifications are dry.
Yeah.
So if you're enjoying this, please tag us on your stories. And also, please message us because we love it. And we'll see you next week.
Let's implement a rule where everyone who tags us in a story, including our personal accounts, we have to repost it. Okay.
Yeah.
So
that's so dangerous. You know what that means?
You know, we're not good, mate.
No, gonna,
that is not the problem we're going to have. There is no danger of that ever happening. But you can like write something audacious in it and we will still have to repost it. And that will go out. I mean, I don't want to brag, but that's going to go out to my 5 Instagram followers. So nice bit of exposure. Anyway, okay. Thank you. Tara, you were going to say goodbye. Say goodbye.
Okay, goodbye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.